The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Sam Spade, Detective Agency.
Oh, murder.
Oh, Sam, have you had a hard day?
Murderous. 9 this morning, I grinned through 25 poses, count them, over dishes of all 25 varieties of Sanderson succulent soup, a meal in a can. Then,
Really, Sam?
Then I was imprisoned in a plush chair for 2 hours with a glass in my hand.
No.
Yes, of Brannigan's Bog, the whiskey that smells like old Ireland.
It sounds interesting.
It wasn't. They wouldn't let me touch it till after.
Aw.
And for the rest of the afternoon, I've been pulling up my trousers.
Woo!
For a series of leg art shots which will bear the legend, Samuel Spade, prominent San Francisco detective, says, McGonagall's grip tight is the garter for me.
Oh, Sam, how thrilling to be prominent.
Maybe so, but fame is a sometime thing, sweetheart. Just a flashbulb in the pan, as you will agree when you have heard my report on the Cheesecake Caper. I ought to be infectious.
Oh.
I'm beautiful.
The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Zing, zing, zing-a-ding, ding, 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 ding.
Boone, John, old Sam.
Well, boning up, huh?
Let me see now. Oh, antibello, un carburatore per la calzela.
Great, great. What's it mean?
I found my secretary's list of most used Italian phrases, Sam.
Hmm.
It means, I want a carburetor for my voiturette.
I'll remember that. Shall we proceed with the business at hand?
Ready, Sam.
They fill it in. To Bartolomeo Maggiore. Copy to Lieutenant Rossi, North Beach Division, from Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, the Crab Louie Caper. Dear Bartolomeo, Fisherman's Wharf, as you know, is as changeable as an Italian wench. All smiles and laughter of a Saturday night with the lights blazing in the Cioppino palazzas and the tourists three deep around the steaming cauldrons outside. But it's something else again of an early dawn. Dark and lonely and quiet, except for the mutter of engines as the crab boats nose out into the fog that hang over the gate. Last night was somewhere in between. The lights were blinking out as I left my cab and walked over to your place of business. A gaudily painted building at the foot of the wharf with a red, yellow, and blue sign reading...
Mateo Police. From Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject... Are you listening, Sam?
Subject, the champion caper. Dear Manelli. You were there for the end of it, and I was there for the start of it, which is in the reception office of Elliot Champion's brokerage house in San Mateo, and where I first met Mildred Champion. Remember that old salve, how a woman in love is always beautiful? When I went in, I had no idea she was in love and no idea she was beautiful. Not because she had lately been crying, but her sallow face without makeup, framed in a wisp of blonde hair, wasn't flattered by the shapeless black dress, cotton stockings, and low-heeled shoes she was wearing. Certainly not the going idea of beauty. Nor did her conversation reveal anything to indicate love.
Oh, yes. May I help you?
Mr. Elliot Champion, my name's Spade.
Spade. S-P-A-D-E?
You don't have to write it. He's expecting me.
Your business, Mr. Spade?
Private.
I have to have a little more than that, I'm afraid.
Always this hot here?
Mr. Champion can't stand fresh air.
Obvious.
That's what makes it so warm in here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is hot. Just flip the switch and tell him I'm here.
Well, what is it, Mildred?
I was just going out. Mr.
Spade. Well?
Oh, no, Mr. Spade. Seek, man. Seek. S-I-K-H. As in India.
Oh, foolish
I
me.
I can see you're interested in my work. Have a good look at it. See here? The figure of the dancing girl against the sweep of the desert in the setting sun.
Mm-hmm.
The weary soldier tries to submerge the horrors of battle, war, in the contemplation of feminine beauty. But the sun's rays, refracted in that crystal, focus themselves upon the weapon in his hand. And he is reminded that he must revel while he can, for as surely as the sun rises on the morrow, he must answer the call to... arms. Great conception, isn't it? My son's idea.
Mm-hmm, yes. Exactly why did you ask me to come over, Mr. Battle?
Mr. Spade, Supposing you knew a man who had committed the crime of murder in order to realize a reward beyond the wildest imaginings of the Occidental mind.
Well,
suppose then that just as he had that dream within his grasp, you had snatched it away from him.
Me?
Suppose further that your enemy had then devoted his life and his fortune to searching you out. And you suddenly learned that he had caught up with you at last and was actually living a stone's throw away from you. What would you think?
I think I'd move.
Where? To a crowded city where he or his hirelings could be lurking for you around any corner?
Well,
I think...
Don't mind Mamie. She's kind of bitter.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
She did a lousy job on her hair last time. It's all streaky.
Yeah, I noticed.
Go on, sit down.
Nice place, Johnny. Nice place. How's the gross?
Oh, ain't as good as running beer, but them days are gone. I do all right. 2 crap tables, 2 faro games, a little roulette in the living room, but I have to be careful.
Yeah, you seem to have plenty of muscle outside to keep it safe and comfy.
Ah, punks, all of them. But the best I can get nowadays, no good gunsels left. Guess they all got married and settled down or something.
All right, Johnny, it's cool and it's nice out here. You make a living and I got a check for $100. Why?
Well, in my line, I don't generally have much use for a private eye. I don't generally like them.
Neither does Manny.
But I can use one right now. Ever see this before? No? Well, it's a little bit of necklace.
Necklace, Kate.
Called the Tears of Night or something.
Yeah?
And it's worth quite a chunk of Gita's. These 4 diamonds are good stuff. Dame named Daphne Arlington left it here a week ago when she went in for a plunge at the roulette table. She left it for a standby till she raised the cash. Oh, screwy, Dame. You know, a widow with a lot of money. Boyfriend named Lenny Epich. He paints or something. Mm-hmm. Well, she sent me a check today for the 5 G's she lost, and I just want you to take this thing back to her.
That all?
Yeah, that's all. I got my dough, she gets a necklace. You're a licensed bonded investigator, insured, safe with you. I couldn't trust any of my punks with it, and I don't like to be seen in public, so you just take it back. It's all very simple.
Uh-huh. Now that you've told me how simple it is.
You see, Mr. Spade.
Oh, I gather that much, but what kind of things?
Helen's been singing in a cheap nightclub called the Blue Goose.
What?
Oh, it's very embarrassing.
Low class, eh?
Yes. There's a man named Torpy. He owns the club.
A man named Chick Torpy?
Oh, you know of him?
I've heard of him.
Contrary to all her father's wishes, Helen insists on seeing this man Torpy.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
Well, that's beside the point, Mr. Spade. But a sordid affair now might rob her of a future of wealth and security. Mr. Scully's at the point of exasperation. He might well change his will over this matter. Correct, Mr. Scully? At best, this is an embarrassing situation and most indiscreet of Helen to have brought it about.
So, I'm supposed to go talk to Chick Torpy, is that it?
In a word, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you sound rather reluctant, Mr. Spade.
Chick Torpy's a little too old for the Boy Scouts.
Well, we want you to see him. Find out how much you'll take to stop seeing Helen.
Tell me, what happens if Torpy isn't for sale?
Oh, everyone has price. Matter of character. You get paid for work like this, that's your price.
Yeah, that reminds me. 50 a day and expenses. 5 days guarantee, to say the least.
Of course, to say the least.
And, Mr. Scully, I happen to have a standard client's contract with me here. If you'll just sign on both pages, I'm sure...
Never mind, Spade, not now. Mr. Scully will mail it to you later on today. Oh, dear, Mr. Scully's fatigued. Well, you'll contact me as soon as you have any information for us.
Bertuccio, but no, he wouldn't hear of it. I had to ride in a back seat with a window of bulletproof glass separating us. And thus we rode down to the peninsula. We glided down elm-shaded streets and finally through the gate of Monte Cristo's estate. The driveway was lined with spring-green poplars. The mansion door was opened by a rear admiral, and I was ushered in. I wouldn't want to say that the living room was large, but I coughed once, and it was a full minute before the echo came back. A door opened somewhere, and a tan, hard-bodied man walked in across the marble floor with an outstretched hand. It was tougher than whalebone.
I appreciate your coming, Mr. Spade.
Mr. Christoph.
Did you have a drink? Champagne, scotch, Irish, what?
Oh, anything, whatever you like.
Good. I figured you for rye. It's already ordered.
Rye it is.
Cigar?
No, thanks.
The custom roll to Vanna's, made expressly to my own taste.
Oh, thanks anyway, but I have some beat-up cigarettes here, son.
Oh, try mine. The King of England, I did him a favor once he ships them over.
How is George?
You drink, Mr. Spade.
Oh, thank you, Bertuccio.
Now, you've been investigating me.
Yes.
And you haven't found out anything.
How'd you know, Mr. Christo?
There was nothing to find out.
Well, you're red.
I'll do you a service and save you time and money.
Well, that's a handsome offer. I accept.
I was born in Michigan to a prosperous lumber family.
Well, and his people. No vengeance for Louis. Why were you crying when I came by tonight?
Haven't I the right to cry with my Louis?
Drop it.
Huh?
Why didn't you go to the meeting, afraid to give yourself away?
I didn't feel like it, that's all.
You're a Sicilian, Rosalia. Vengeance is pretty important to you. If you'd loved Louis, you'd have been in there screaming for Dominic's scalp.
You shut your mouth.
But no, you sat home crying, not for Louis, but for Dominic, right? How long had it been going on? Did you know Dominic was going to kill him when they put out in the San Felipe?
Why would Dominic kill him?
Well, that's a stupid question. He's in love with you.
In love with me. In love with me.
Drop it. Drop it, Rosalia.
In love with me? Oh, I wish it were so.
Huh?
He killed for me. Is that what they say? It's all very flattering, very. I love Dominic. I've always loved Dominic since I was a little girl. I threw myself at Dominic. And I begged him to marry me. That's not easy for a girl to do, Mr. Spade. I begged him and I promised to work for him, to be a slave. You know what he did? He laughed and he spit upon me. And you, you stand there and you tell me that he murdered for the love of me. You wouldn't walk across the street.
All right, all right. Take it easy now. Come on, take it easy.
So I do this.
Creates a dazzling thing of beauty such as this. Would he be so unlikely as to forget the time, the patience, the agony of his creation? See how each stone is carefully mounted to capture every single pinpoint of light.
Mm-hmm.
An incomparable masterpiece. An incredible money.
How much money?
The wholesale market, about 10,000.
Arlington?
He paid 25, but he had it, as I say, incomparable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I saw another one just like it tonight.
Ridiculous. The finest workman at best could only create a crude resemblance. This kind of work demands an artist, sir, an artist. But tell me, Latin in anguish herba, huh?
My second year Latin escapes me.
Snake in the grass. Is something wrong?
Something wrong, yeah.
You were concerned for the safety of this piece. I have a small safe in my room. You may have the key if you care.
I'll take it with me. Thank you, Mr. Mortuus.
My pleasure, Mr. Spain. Omnia mortuus bonum vocat est. All speak well of Mortuus, a punter. Good evening.
In the dismal lobby of the White Hotel, I asked the night clerk for some wrapping paper and 20 cents worth of stamps. It was a hunch, plus the fact that outside in the street I spotted two of Johnny McCall's unshaved gorillas. They were looking up at the front of the building. Mr. Mortuus must have switched off his light or something because...
Let's see, I ain't sure whether it's the third or the fourth.
Third or fourth what?
The booth from the back there.
Oh.
She's been sitting there all night writing letters. You better be careful, though. She got an awful temper.
Yeah, thanks, lighthouse keeper. How about the beer?
Sure.
Hey, Larry! Draw one!
So Larry drew one, and I took it down to the bar to a point opposite booth number four, which indeed contained Lolita, a fragile little thing wearing a turtleneck sweater marked Stillman's Gym. The table was covered with writing paper, and her alabaster brow was a mass of unsightly wrinkles as she chewed the end of her fountain pen. I'd no sooner settled down when the front door opened, and what appeared to be the reincarnation of Gargantua the gorilla, only with clothes, steamed down the aisle and slid in next to Lolita, who was not alarmed at all.
Lolita, I bear tidings.
Listen to this. I am making progress. Grandfather dear, you cannot know how dire is the peril into which I have been thrust. Okay.
Prosper, the dish.
Or maybe, grandfather beloved. Yeah. As I take up my pen in hand, I am overcome with fear. Things look very black indeed. I have fallen into the clutches of a...
Not the gun.
I said get out of my way!
You better let me have it, baby.
Lolita, temper.
A gun with one hand while Lolita chewed on my other one. Stuyvesant, meanwhile, catching my head under his arm like a nutcracker and kicking me in the stomach with his knee. This went on for some time, then I became vaguely aware of Stivey's fist, as big as a ham, coming up from the floor.
Hey,
he caught me on the side of the head, and I skittered down the marble floor, past the row of booths like a ball in a bowling alley, scoring a 10-strike on the pinball machine, which leaned drunkenly over me, stuck out its coin drawer, and flashed a red light in my face, reading, "Foul ball, try again." Stupid me, I did.
You are listening to the weekly adventure of radio's most famous detective, Sam Spade. chimes mean good times on NBC. There's music and mystery tomorrow on NBC. For music, your hit parade brings you the top tunes in the land, as selected by you and presented by Raymond Scott's Orchestra, Eileen Wilson, and Snooky Lanson. For mystery, Herbert Marshall stars as the man called X, an intrepid adventurer in international intrigue who travels to all corners of the world. Wherever there is danger, romance, and mystery, there you will find the man called X. And now back to the Spanish Prisoner Caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
I came to with my head jammed between the brass rail and the bar next to what proved to be the lighthouse keeper's left shoe, parked as always in front of the pinball machine.
Larry, that's up front.
Oh.
All right, get up.
Where are they?
Top hole is all filled with three balls to go.
Congratulations. How about Lolita in the mug?
Oh, Deb. All right, get up. Oh, Deb? Took off, Blaster. I had 780,000 points run up, and they had to go and throw you at the machine, cause a tilt. And Larry!
Oh, you wouldn't have a brandy lying around loose, would you?
Sure, sit down.
Thanks. I think I saw Louis tonight.
Louis? Impossible. Where?
Behind Castellani's.
Yeah.
Bless you, Fosky. Oh, hit me again, will you?
Yeah, but what about Louis?
Called me up, said he'd meet me there. Just tried to knife me.
Oh, but it's impossible.
Is it?
Why would he play dead? And why would he try to kill you?
Maybe he's crazy.
Well, how do you mean?
You've heard of the dear old lady who had the trunk full of pancakes, haven't you?
Hmm?
Louis saves old tallow. Captain Kidd's treasure chest at the museo is full of it.
Who told you this?
Rosalia showed it to me. May I?
Help yourself.
Thanks. Might be a good idea to call another meeting and tell the people. Make it easier for Dominic.
Funny. Of the whole meeting here, I alone doubted his guilt.
Good thing they made you the judge, or he might be 6 feet under by now. Got a cigarette?
In the box there, next to the phone.
Thanks. Yeah, I went right along with him, too. Shows how wrong you can be when...
When what?
When you go by emotions and not by evidence. This is, quite a cigarette box.
Yes, it stops when you put it down.
Hmm? Well.
I
too, happen to look something like old man Scully. Enough like him to keep his mouth closed when I was there, but who might want to open it later.
I don't know what you're talking about, Spade.
Didn't think you would.
But, I don't like it.
Yeah, boss.
Timmy? Joe?
Yeah?
Throw this bum out. I'm sick of looking at him.
Get out of here, boss.
And they did. It was 2-1, and I'd been up late the night before. I was doing very well, though, until somebody stooped to a form of subterfuge I have long since grown to hate. I was born on 2 swarthy shoulders out of the club and into the open air. I was on a balcony, and a good stiff sea breeze was blowing. I didn't enjoy it long.
One, two, three.
Cold but refreshing, and I managed to swim the 5 feet to shore, and that was my limit. I hung onto a slippery piling which supported the blue goose above me and partially hid the antechamber in front of me. It had been a wine cellar once and a loading dock, I suspected, during Prohibition. This time it was a hideout.
Keep your hands up, Spade. Close the door.
Sick, please.
Keep out of this, Helen.
Yeah, you're crazy, Torpy. You got this all wrong.
Mr. Spade's right.
There's probably a 5 grand reward out for me right now. They want me dead or alive, and you're here.
Jesus was released from prison, and it was unnatural, only it didn't work. Champion called May instead, and you tried to shake me down.
Well, I only thought we could kind of work together. You know, make it a good thing.
I told you once you should try another racket. But you didn't take my advice. Now you're going to have to.
What do you mean?
Because your license will be revoked pretty quick. You got into a lot of trouble about 2 minutes from now.
I did? I was right here. What are you trying to...
I swore out a complaint on you for assault and battery.
Hey, wait a minute. I ain't done nothing to you. Champion Stead, and
yes,
I tell you...
Yes, you did, Lamb. You tried to strike me, and I had to defend myself.
But I...
And I did make out a complaint, Lieutenant. I phoned your office, and 2 of your men were on the way out to pick him up when I heard a footstep outside the door. I knew who was there and what she was there for, and I did the only thing I could think of at the moment. And it was lucky I did it. Her own .32 was in her hand when she came in the door. She looked at me, and Lem's smoking gun in my hand, looked at him, stretched out on the floor, then she looked back at me, and the gun fell from her hand, and she began to cry. Hello, Mildred.
I wanted to do it. I came here to do it.
I know.
Why? Why did you?
To stop you.
Why?
My bullets went into the ceiling. He's just knocked out.
No. No, he ought to be dead. Dead.
No. Not anymore, Mildred.
You tricked me. You knew I was coming here. And you know he should...
Or something.
In other words, you were helping Torvi get away with murder.
Yes, but I was thinking only of Helen. Her father did love her.
But you'd already sent a letter to me. You knew I'd be here the next morning. You'd seen an actor on a television program. He resembled Scully. You hired him for a job. You told Helen the chick had killed her father and told her what kind of acting she had to do.
Oh, it was crude, perhaps, but I didn't want you to become suspicious when a death report did show up. I intended to hire you and fire you.
Only it didn't work out. I followed Torby here and found the body.
Oh, I've been such a fool, Spade. Helping a man get away with murder, I want to confess it all. I suppose this will make me an accessory to murder.
Not exactly.
You mean there's a way out?
There's a way out, and you were going to take it.
What?
I was over to your apartment before I came here. You're all moved out. The doorman tells me your luggage has been at the station all morning. What'd you do? Came here to rifle the safe?
No, see, here's Spade.
Stop it. You were waiting around to see if they took Torby dead or alive. Dead, he couldn't talk, and you'd be okay. Alive, you're ready to blow town. You bumped Scully.
No.
Get back there. Then you did your best to hang it on a chick. Helen thought he really did it and played along with you. You're not an accessory to murder. You're a murderer on a double count. That actor was knocked on the head before he drowned.
Oh, just a minute, Spade. This could be fixed if you...
Shut up! Period. End of report.
Sam, I don't understand.
What, Angel?
I don't understand, Sam.
What?
Well, you say you turned Chick Torby over to the police, yet Dr. Kensington was the murderer.
A formality, Ev. He will be released and cleared in short order. Anything else?
Well, yes. What about Danny Covillo?
An innocent bystander.
But he had you beat up and knocked on the head.
And he has already made amends with those tickets for the fights. No more questions, Ev. Type this up and I'll give you the happy ending.
And now, listen to this. School days will soon be here, mothers. To make sure Junior's hair is always neat and well-groomed, get after those cowlicks and stray strands with Wild Root Cream Oil, the famous hair tonic that grooms the hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. And remind Dad to ask his barber for a professional application of Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too.
What is it?
Look, Sam, look.
What is it?
Look, Sam, look.
All right, I shall rephrase the question. What? Oh, I see. You mean the magazine look, huh?
They said an advance copy.
Hold the light. Oh, get playing it on the deck, prattling to himself like a little kid whistling in the dark. He was a lousy actor, pale under his sunburn and drenched with sweat.
I won't let you forget it, pal.
Coil by coil.
To prove to
then it began to come slower.
And make it stick. When I can prove it in court, I'll sue you till you bleed. Hey, what's the matter here? What's pulling on this line?
Maybe it's your conscience, Dominic.
It's heavy. It's...
What? The Lord moves in strange ways.
Hey, can't get it up.
Let me help you. There we go. One, two...
Up!
Lee! Get away from me! Let me go! Lee! No!
I hauled Louis up onto the deck, and a grisly sight he was, too, with a knife still sticking in his back. I figured that that was where Dominic would put it, and I was right. Not that it mattered, because Dominic wasn't thinking logically from the moment he saw Louis's body tangled in his crab line. He sang us all 50 verses then and there and repeated them for the police stenographer later when we got him to headquarters. It looks like a first-degree rap for both him and Foskey, but I'm waiting till it happens before telling him the corpse was Captain Kidd, minus beard and ruffles. Period. End of report.
Sam.
Tonight's Adventure with Sam Spade was written for radio by E. Jack Newman. Musical direction by Lud Gluskin, with score composed by Pierre and Rene Garrigan. Join us again next Sunday when author Dashiell Hammett and producer William Spear join forces for another Adventure with Sam Spade.